Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the first Board of Education meeting of 2019, and we'd ask our superintendent to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, turning to item three, changes in the meeting agenda. We have three. We have replacement page, item Q1, instructional personnel cover page, and addenda, item P1, approval of appointment of an interim principal for R.C. Murphy Junior High School, and item Q1, instructional personnel schedule A5. I'd like to turn now to our first public participation session. This can be up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Okay. Turning to item five, minutes and bids. The minutes of December 12th, 2018. May I have a motion on that to approve those minutes, please? So moved. Mrs. Gish? Ms. Babinka? Any comments? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The minutes are approved. Turning to bids. Jeff, can you talk about the bids a little bit?
Yes, we have two bids. One is an annual cesspool cleaning and tank pumping. The company that we previously used, the owner of that company retired, so we had to do another bid. That's here. And then also we have a bid for some bathroom renovations at Ward Melville, Murphy Junior High, and Gelinas Junior High School. These were part of our 2018-19 capital projects.
Okay, Dr. Kerman, second, Mrs. Germano. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The bids are approved. Turning now to reports, our student representative report.
The Three Village Industry Advisory Board just hosted a career fair last week at Ward Melville for students in grades 7 through 12. Cooking for a Cause is on Thursday, February 7th at 2:30 p.m. Student government has chosen to give all the profits to the Three Village Kids Lemonade Stand. The Three Village Kids Lemonade Stand donate all their profits to the Stony Brook Children's Hospital. We are looking for donations for this event. You can contact Allison Kane at acane@3villagecsd.k12.my.us. After January 26th, we will have a list of all the raffle baskets at the event if you want to pre-order your tickets or pre-buy. Ward Melville seniors Kelsey G., Maya Pena Lobel, Megan Specht, and Elizabeth Wang were named scholars in the 2019 Regeneron Science Talent Search. That's it.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I just want to say the career fair that they had last week at Ward Melville was absolutely outstanding. I happened to attend it. Dr. Bam did a wonderful job in setting this up and so forth. Absolutely. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. Very, very exciting. Very exciting and so forth. Now, Mrs. Petisic, make an introduction insofar as our guidance program
yes.
is concerned.
Good evening. I am very pleased to introduce our coordinating chairperson for guidance, Ms. Linda Bergson, and I also want to thank our entire guidance department from Murphy, Gelinas, Ward Melville High School, and the Academy for being here this evening. So I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Linda.
Straighten out my glasses, which ones are reading, which ones are distance.
Okay, I'll get straightened out here.
Actually, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
With your permission, I would like to read a statement that that I wrote that I feel is very important and significant to me and to the entire guidance department. So would that be all right? Okay. Hi, I'm Linda Berkson, coordinating chairperson of guidance, and I'm here with all of the counselors tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to update you on the status of our comprehensive guidance program. I have prepared for you some slides highlighting the things that we do as well as some goals that we have set for ourselves. First, I will be speaking about some of the things that are happening at the high school. Then Anthony DeTero and Amy Poulos will cover the junior high schools, and Leah Jansen will give you some insights into what is going on at the academy. I've been at Ward Melville since 1996, and I would have to say that this year has been the most difficult, both personally and professionally. Last January, Ward Melville lost a beloved friend and colleague when Kerry LoJudis died suddenly. Then this November, the thing that every counselor fears the most happened. A student at the high school lost her life. Even though we understand that tragedies happen in life, and we can never know how many lives we have saved by our interventions, it still haunts all of us. I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for believing in what we do and supporting our department. The only way that I can make sense of what seems senseless is to look at how this department and our district-wide counseling staff came together that weekend in November, which included our very own superintendent, Mrs. Petisic, and came up with a plan for how to help our grieving students and their families. We opened the high school on that Monday, Veterans Day, and provided counseling to anyone who wanted or needed it. What stood out to me was that the relationships that connected students to their counselors were evident in how families came that day and every day in the following weeks. Students sought out their counselors and brought their friends or anyone they were worried about to the guidance office. To me, that emphasized the strength of the relationships between the counselors and their students, which is what carried us through and allowed us to help those students. That being said, we collectively took a deep breath and moved forward knowing that the work that we do makes a difference. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much.
So now we'll go on to our PowerPoint program. So, the district-wide guidance department is made up of Ward Melville High School, Jalinas, Murphy Junior High School, and the Three Village Academy. So we have 10 counselors at Ward Melville High School, 4 counselors at each junior high school with a lead counselor in each, and Leah Jansen is the guidance counselor at the Three Village Academy. In addition, I really do have to say that what makes our program run so smoothly are the secretaries in all of the buildings. The guidance secretaries are unbelievable. The guidance mission statement, I will read this too because I think it's important. As school counselors, our mission is to support teachers, administrators, parents, and the community in preparing all Three Village students to achieve their fullest potential by providing them with a safe, nurturing learning environment that will enhance their cognitive, career, and social emotional development. The theme really throughout the rest of the PowerPoint program is that we're looking to provide a safe and nurturing environment for our students. We need to take care of their social emotional health in addition to all the rest of what we do. Here you can see all district counselors, 7 through 12, support the mission by doing all of these activities. Anthony DeTero is going to talk about the junior high school program.
Should I start from the beginning? No.
Anthony.
Yeah. Is that a hint, Jeff? All right. So, 2 minutes. So I'll use 30 seconds to say I've already been told I'm retiring, and I already got a limit placed on me. So, but anyway, our programs are mostly transitional programs, and the focus of the guidance department at junior high school is really to have personalized relationships with our students. So we start off at the elementary school when we meet them in their environment, and we do a transition into the junior high school through a program that is based on meeting your each individual counselor when you come into the seventh grade. I'm abbreviating. There's many things in between, but basically what we're trying to do is stay with a student and have them have individual contact with us. And when we meet with them individually in seventh grade, we meet as a group, they come to the guidance office, and then we meet personally with each kid and we interview them. And we try to get a little bit of who they are, but mainly for them to understand how the process works, get the pass, come in, because volume to us is a big deal. We just want as many students coming across our desk, because the more students, the more connections, the more comfortable they are, and the more that we can work them whatever which way they need our assistance, either it's academic, social, emotional, whatever it may be, that's what we're there for. And then in eighth grade, we do a four-year plan program, and we work with families, so it's an opportunity for us to have families, the school, and the student come together and meet and not have a reason to meet, such as an academic issue, a social issue, but really a come together so we can have a joining of where they are point in time. And in eighth grade, we all have created this program, everyone here in the guidance office. It's really to take a student and have them understand where they are, because not too long ago they were an elementary student, sixth grade, a year and a half into that eighth grade year. They're already going from an elementary student into really a high school student. And they don't understand that transition, because a lot of our students are taking high school courses in eighth grade. So we want them to kind of not put them in a place that they're thinking about college, even though it's a four-year plan, but to have them understand that things are happening now. And some of your choices and the awareness that you have will help you create and develop a better pathway for yourself. And then in ninth grade, we do a lot of high school scheduling. High school counselors come down and meet with the students and really make another personalized appeal what the high school is about, but to make that connection so when they go up there, they see the faces that they're going to be working with at the high school. Is that 2 minutes? All right. Now, so, I mean, these are our programs, and that was in a summary. Now, Amy is going to talk. Oh, there you are, Amy. All right.
Hello. I will use the microphone because I'm a low talker. So as junior high school guidance counselors, we do a lot of different programs with our students. We get involved with them as much hands-on as much as we can in many different aspects. One of them I definitely want to highlight tonight would be our new student breakfast that we hold every year. So in addition to greeting the seventh grade groups that come into our building, as Anthony talked about in the transitions, we also participate in a breakfast every year for new students. So we welcome them. We get to know them in a more casual setting. We have, you know, some bagels and just talk about what we do as counselors, how we can help them, why we're there. We want them to feel comfortable. We want them to know who we are. We want them to know, you know, what we do, what we can do for them. So that way, when they do have a problem, there is a concern, something comes up, they feel comfortable coming to us. So that's one of the first things that we do early in September with our students. In addition to that, we do something for our new teachers, our staff and faculty new to the building as well. Each of our departments have a new staff orientation or reception. They'll come down and we have bagels and coffee and, you know, welcome them as well. Because the same thing as with the students, we want the faculty and staff to know that we are available to them to help them with any concerns that they have about students. We want them to come to us if they have questions about anything. We want them to know about our procedures or how we run our office, how students get passes to come down. We want to establish that a relationship with them early on, which is really important to us as counselors. This is just one of the programs or two of the programs that we like to highlight tonight, just because they are so valuable to us in the guidance program. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, some of the high school programs, I'm going to just highlight one or two of them. The on-call counselor period to us is very important, and it works very well. There is a counselor and sometimes two counselors on call every single period throughout the day. The reason we do that is so that sometimes if a student comes in and is upset and wants to talk to their counselor, and their counselor is with another student or in a conference, there's always someone there. And you'd be surprised at how the students are fine with that. It's okay, as long as I have someone to talk to. They've also become very good at bringing their concerns about their friends to us. Counselors on call are practically busy every period of the day. Depending on the issue, we could end up having to convene the crisis team immediately, depending on what the content of the conference was on the on-call period. I think that the counselors do a really good job in providing interventions for students who are upset. Another program that I'm really proud of is the on-site college admissions program. And I want to thank Darlene Ryan and Jim Sheridan, who organize it, run it every one of the days that we provide that program. They are standing on their feet, running up and down the hall, moving the students into the interviews, and hosting the college reps that are coming from the college. What the program entails is there are 10 colleges that come to Ward Melville High School. They each get their own day. Stony Brook is one of our biggest participants, and Rob Pertisati tells us that we are the only high school that he does this for. He comes with his entire admissions staff. We provide rooms for him, and they meet with our students individually for about a 10 or 15 minute interview. And that day, right on the spot, the student gets the decision as to whether they're admitted or not. We had, I think it was about 105 participants for Stony Brook, and out of the 105 students who participated, 90 were accepted. That's incredible. Not that many go, and I'll show you some data later on. But 90 students were accepted. Stony Brook is a really good option for our students. It's right here. They're happy to know that day, which this program goes on between September and December, early December. So these students who are accepted know that they're going to college. It's usually their first acceptance. The pressure is off. It's even an earlier decision date than early decision, which is about December 15th. That's one very popular one. Suffolk comes, and they do a great job. Dot Caffone comes with her team. They meet with our students. They meet, I think there were about, I can't remember now. I have the data in my folder. They meet with our ENL students privately, individually, and it's great for them because they're not always up on the process the way our other students are. So that works very well for them. Leah Jansen will talk about it, but our academy kids come over on a bus. They meet with the Suffolk team, and they get admitted to college. It's a great program. We have been sought after. Malloy called us, right, Dar? Siena joined the team. Usually it was just the Long Island schools, but Siena, Brockport, added to the list. So we have about 10 schools who come to Ward Melville, and between September and December, these kids find out that they're actually accepted somewhere. Adelphi, I think it was Alan, you orchestrated. Adelphi's president wanted to meet with our students to offer them full rides if they met certain criteria. I think there were about 3 or 4 students who actually got that offer. So anyway, very proud of that program. Alumni Day is another program. I'll just quickly describe it. It's a picture of the LGI where former grads come back, and that you can see them. I don't know if I can do this. They're sitting on the panel, and the audience are the Ward Melville seniors who are asking them questions about their first experience in college, dorm life, what they were surprised about, and they share student-to-student information, which is very authentic, and kids really relate to that. So we're proud of that program. Some other things that go on in the high school classroom presentations, 10th graders, I'll just skip to this one. 10th graders meet in the library, and they go through the Navion's interest inventory to come up with possible career paths and linked to possible college majors, and then they do a college search on the Navion's program. So that's in the spring of 10th grade. Every student meets with their counselors for the scheduling process one-on-one through the month of January and February. So that's what we're in the middle of right now. We have four evening programs. We host a financial aid night. We do a college refresher program, which is the same night as open house. We do it because our juniors meet for a college conference in the spring, throughout the spring semester, and they come back senior year and they say, what did you say? What do we do? So we host a pre-open house program where we go over, this is what you do, step by step. Now you're a senior, now the applications go out, and we take them through that process. We have a college planning night speaker, and we do a full-blown local scholarship awards night where Walter Olson is the chair of that. How many businesses participate? About 40 community business people donate about $40,000, is it? About more than $40,000 to our seniors. And Walter, kudos to Walter. What? Oh. He is unbelievable running that whole program, and then leading up to that night where it's a very special emotional night for the community. It's a great, great evening. Leah Jansen, you're on.
Good evening. Okay, you can hear me. Thanks, Linda. I work at the Academy. I've been there. This is my second year there at the Academy after spending time at Gelinas, Ward Melville, and Murphy Junior High. I have the honor of being the guidance counselor at the Academy. What makes my job so wonderful is that I get to work and collaborate with everyone in all the buildings. I am constantly on the phone with the counselors at the junior highs and the counselors at the high school, and we are working together to make sure a student is in the right placement, because many times they share their school. They split their time between Ward Melville and the Academy, and we try and make that program fit best for them. At the Academy, we really pride ourselves on customizing a lot of the students' schedules and their time at the Academy so that they're meeting all their graduation requirements. I also have the ability to spend a lot of time with the students there because we have a small number of students who are at the Academy, which gives it that intimate nature and setting, which allows them to thrive in a school setting, which honestly many of them have not had that opportunity and have not experienced success in a school setting. So we really feel good about a lot of the programs that we do because it makes them feel successful in school for the first time. And we have a lot of attendance issues, so we get to work with them on why they're experiencing the school phobia or what is causing them to not come to school. And I can honestly say that we're improving a lot of students' attendance records just by meeting with them, and I get to spend time with them. And we do a cute little one of our programs. It's on the next slide. I have no idea how to get to that, but there it is. We have what we call the Academy Awards, And we've even gone as far as ordering these little miniature, they're like little, you know, Oscars. And we put their names on the bottom and they get an award for most improved for the quarter. And we run their quarterly averages between quarter one and quarter two. And we show them, wow, you know, you have improved. You had a 75 average and now you have an 89 average. And they get to see it. Sometimes when they see it really on paper, they're like, wow, I have improved. I didn't realize how much my grades had gone up. We also do student of the month for attendance records, perfect attendance for the month of October. And these are students who have missed, and I'm serious, 50% of their school year. They were absent. That is truth. And now they've gone from 50% missing to 20% missing. And that's an incredible achievement. So we're really proud of the work that we get to do because it's such a small setting. But we also get to run a lot of the typical programs that the junior high and high school kids get to do, such as BOCES visitations and 2 minutes, I know. I'm getting the hook. But because of the work I get to do with Jim Sheridan and Darlene, the on-site program, I get to bring my students up there and they get to get admitted into college right there on the spot. The look on their faces, it's priceless. And we do a BOCES visitation. John Deal and I talk about that. We take them there. And we also go to the field trip in May to see Suffolk Community College and walk around a college campus. These are kids that didn't see themselves graduating. So it's really an amazing opportunity for me as a guidance counselor to get to see these students really achieve a lot of their goals. All right, Linda.
So at the junior high school.
I went over my time. I'm sorry.
Sit down now, Liv.
Okay, she's off.
Okay. So I thought you'd be interested in some data. A lot of us like data. College applications. This is for last year's graduating class of 2018. Where were the applications? The top 20 schools that our students applied to last year. What do you notice? Stony Brook, Binghamton, Suffolk, SUNY, an outlier comes over here, Michigan, but most of these applications were sent to schools on the East Coast and typically within a 5-hour traveling time. Since so many were SUNYs, I thought it would be interesting to look at last year's class and look at the SUNY spread. These are just applications. These are not where the students went. But you see Stony Brook, front runner, Binghamton next, Suffolk third, Cortland, Oneonta. You start to see they're pretty close to each other in this range. But SUNYs are a really strong option for our students. This chart shows where students attend in terms of the SUNYs. Last year's graduating class, 281 students, that's 44%, attended a SUNY school. The year before, in 2017, 41% attended a SUNY school. So according to this, it's increasing in terms of popularity. And that includes all of the SUNYs. I just showed the most going down to Farmingdale with not that many. Where do our students attend, not just in terms of SUNY? This is last year's graduating class, Suffolk. Suffolk, 104 out of that class was about 640. So I think I used the calculator this afternoon. I think that's about 16% go to Suffolk. Actually attend. Next, Stony Brook, 37. That's not, I forget what percent that was. Anybody good in math? It's like, where is it? Okay. What was it? 5-6? And Binghamton, right close to that. Then Geneseo, New Paltz. Here, this is colleges attended. URI, Popular, Cornell. Cornell has the SUNY portion, so that makes it more popular in terms of the finances of it. One of my students this 2 weeks ago came down and she was so excited she got into NYU, early decision. So she said, the only thing is I feel so guilty. The total for the family was going to be upwards to $80,000 a year. So next slide, I wanted to show you something else. 44% go to SUNY. But that was incredible. And then she started to come down to see me about financial aid and possible scholarships. That's tremendous difference. SUNYs are about 24. This slide talks about, and I have to thank Nathan Jane for putting this slide together. This is the Ward Melville acceptance rate, and this is over a period of 4 years. This column is the national acceptance rate. So, for example, Harvard's acceptance rate is 5%, but our students get in at a rate of 11%. Most of these, if you look down the columns, they're at least twice or, in some cases, 2.5 times the acceptance rate. I think that's really good, and I will never take credit for students getting into college. Our counselors are great, but our students are terrific, and they get themselves into college. We support them, but they do get themselves in. Trends that I've been seeing. The class of 2019, our current senior class, as of like a week ago, approximately 39% of the class has applied early action or early decision. That's a change. In the last 3 years, our counselors don't have a minute to breathe between September and November 15th. Early decision, early action is just totally front-loading everything that we do. The last year, 2018, last year's class was not as significant. 16% applied early. Now it's up to twice that. The year before it was 11%. It just has become increasingly popular. And once a student does one early, everything has to be put in by November 1st. And so the workload gets loaded like that in the beginning, in the early fall. Other trends, it is broad. And I was reading an article recently that said one of the issues was that a lot of colleges were jumping on board to do that because they're having difficulty predicting their yield. So anything early, even if it's early action, which is not binding, it still is a flattery in a way to a student. So if you get in early, you start to think, wow, they really want me. And so they're not predicting yield, which is what they care about the most. What else? SUNYs, I'm just saying that because of the financial burden on the family, SUNYs are a very strong option in this district. Parents walk into a college conference. Am I taking too long? Okay.
You said no, but...
parents walk into a college conference and they start backwards. Yes, I know. They start backwards. Okay, let's talk about colleges, but let's talk about the outcome at the end and a job possibility. And then we'll talk about major and then school. Because the goal for the parent, and I understand it, is to come out of college being able to earn a living and get a job. I get it. And another thing I notice when college reps come through, we host about 80 to 100 college reps who meet with our students in a small setting in the guidance conference room. And their selling point is internships and job placement. And almost every one of them will talk about, we have this great job placement career center, and we offer internships, and the kids are becoming more and more savvy about even asking about whether they do have a lot of internships. Numbers of students evened out, SAT, ACT, it's pretty equal now, and the Common App is available in the spring for juniors. I'm not going to take much more time, I'm just going to summarize. The one thing that, in terms of our future goals, I would like to see the counselors continue to visit college campuses. It really makes the experience with students very much more authentic. and stay current with all the changes. Every time you turn around, State Ed has a new option for graduation, and they're all shaking their head because they all know it. And then New York State Ed came out with a mandate for school districts to have elementary school guidance counselors, and that begins in this coming September 2019-20 school year. What? At the element to be an elementary guidance counselor. To the mandate says they want the counselor to provide academic advisement and career and college information that they at their level, and that it had to be by a licensed school counselor. One
that
of the
is
issues.
For grade six. Grade six.
Yeah.
In most districts, that wouldn't be a problem because that's part of the middle school, and they already have the counselors. For us, it's a problem.
At my last director's meeting, there were only two districts that had a model without a sixth grade in a middle school. Like, we were the one of two that were there. Anyway, thank you so much for your time and for listening to us. We appreciate your support. I'm so happy to see all of my staff here. Collaboratively, collectively, we thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from my colleagues? Okay.
All right, I'll take a second.
Okay. Angelique?
So, as a lot of you know, I have one child that just graduated, and my next guy is on his way eventually. And I cannot say enough about the support that my children have received. I have two drastically different children, as Anthony can tell you, and you will soon learn. You're learning today. Thank you, Mr. Sheridan. He came home today so happy and so relieved that he got to chat with you. And my kids used to come home from Julina's and feel the support and feel heard. And for children need to feel heard. And they need to know that support system is there. And last year, the college process was stressful. It is, you know, we're talking about providing counseling to kindergartners now, and we're worried about college prep in elementary school. My daughter's lucky she made it through her senior year without a nervous breakdown, and it's because of James Sheridan that she made it. He called her to the office, and he said, "What can I do for you? What's the next step? What's an alternate plan? What are we going to do? We are going to get through this." That's how she felt. She wasn't alone. That's huge. I cannot even say enough that my children have you people. So thank you.
We're very lucky. We're very, very lucky. I just want to make a comment, too. I have a daughter, Kristen, who's in her 17th year as a high school guidance counselor. And she had a fantastic role model. Thank you, Kevin McGailey. Really? But one comment I'm going to make, too. You were talking about the cost of attending education. For the past 25 to 30 years, the annual increases in tuition nationally have gone up twice the rate of inflation. As many of you know, I retired in 2011 full-time from Suffolk Community College. When I started working there in 1967, it was $10 a credit part-time, $150 a semester, $300 a year full-time. It's now $210 a credit part-time, from $10 to $210 a credit. So a three-credit course was $30. Now it's over $600 and so forth. I mean, ridiculous. That's a state school. The private schools are out of the roof, too. You know, unbelievable. When I started college, it was a Catholic men's school up in New Hampshire. It was $1,700 a year for room, board, and tuition. $1,700, $900 for tuition, $800 for room and board. It's now $58,300, and they consider themselves a bargain. And the debt, right, and the debt that students get into, unbelievable. But anyway, a real challenge. This is something we really have to work on. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming this evening. I appreciate it.
I would just like to add my thanks. As all of you know, I started my career as a guidance counselor, so I could not be more proud of this particular group. Thank you.
We're very lucky.
Yep.
Thank you very, very much. Turning to item 7, items for board discussion. Are there any items that we'd like to discuss this evening? Not aware of anything? No. Okay. Turning to items for board action, turning to E, the 2019-20 school calendar. Cheryl?
Yeah, yes. Good evening. I am very excited about the school calendar, and I haven't been excited about a school calendar in many years. But this one, yeah, probably one of the best in 10 years that we've had. So the school calendar will allow for 184 days, which will be in line with teacher's contract, and also with the requirements that we have 180 instructional days within the school year. There will be a superintendent's conference day for staff on the 28th of August, which is a Wednesday, followed by a professional development day for our staff on the 29th of August. School will begin for students after Labor Day on the 3rd of September, and this is probably one of the Septembers where there is very little, if any, fragmentation in the entire month, which will be great for instructional purposes and for our students to make a positive transition. Rosh Hashanah is on Monday, September 30th, and October 1st, which is Tuesday. So again, that would cause a four-day weekend, which is little disruption. On the 9th is Yom Kippur, which is a Wednesday. And then the 14th is Columbus Day, that Monday. So there is some fragmentation in October, but not significant. November the 5th, which is Tuesday, will be Election Day. That will be a day that will be closed for students, but staff will be a professional development day for staff. That's if the governor doesn't decide to make it a federal holiday. If he does, in the not a federal holiday, a state holiday, if he does, then schools will have to be closed. But that was in his address, so I don't know whether that will happen or not, but it would not impact the number of days for students. It would just mean that staff would not have a professional development day that day. The 11th of November is Veterans Day. School will be closed. And the last week of November, that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we've typically, as a district, have had that Wednesday off prior to Thursday, which I think most families have been very happy about, and our staff. It's a travel day, day to cook for those who are hosting Thanksgiving. So we will be off those days. December 6th will mark our parent-teacher conferences at the elementary level, and for our staff at the secondary level, they will have a professional development day that focuses on technology. And then comes the winter recess one, beginning on the 23rd of December and running right through January 3rd. So it's 2 weeks off at December, which I think some families who want to go away will have that opportunity to do so. I think in our staff, people are kind of excited about that. So January 20th is Martin Luther King Day. That is a Monday. And then in February, we have the winter recess, too, which runs from the 17th, which is President's Day, through the 21st of February. March is going to be a long stretch. We're talking about 5 to 6 weeks of school. No break. Right. So, and that will go through April 3rd. Passover begins on April 8th, but we will start our vacation on April 6th, and that will run through for us. Easter Sunday is the 12th. We will be off the 13th and 14th following Easter Sunday. Let me explain this. Having those 2 days off, what we've been able to do is build in 2 additional snow days. Last year, as you know, we had 5 snow days, and we took away part of Holy Thursday. which disrupted some of the vacation for our staff. By having the 13th and 14th off, the 14th will serve as the fourth snow day should we need to use it, and the 13th would be the fifth snow day. Hopefully we would never need to use more than five snow days. We'll keep our fingers crossed in moving forward. May, we are in for the entire month except for Memorial Day, which is the 25th. If we have one snow day, then there will be no school on the 22nd and no school on the 26th. If we have two snow days, there will be no school on the 22nd, but we'll be in on the 26th. And then the third snow day would result in losing the Memorial Day weekend, except for the 25th, which is a federal holiday. June this year, believe it or not, we get to end on a Friday, which is normal. And the last 3 days, which are the 24th, 25th, and 26th, are the three half days at the elementary level. And graduation in the year 2020 will be on the 28th, which is a Sunday, as opposed to this year, which is on the 30th, which is very, very late. So it is probably the most optimal calendar we can have and meeting all of the requirements. So we're kind of excited, and we're hoping that the board is going to support moving forward, and we'll approve it this evening, and we'll get it up on the website tomorrow.
May I have a motion, please? Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstention? It's approved.
Right. We're voting against snow days also.
Yes. Okay. Turning to F, the revision of the 2018-19 appointment of impartial hearing officers. May I have a motion on this, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Gimeno, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to G, the approval of health and welfare services contract. Jeff?
We have one contract. It's with the West Islip School District. It's for six Three Village residents who attend school at St. John the Baptist.
Okay. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Gimeno, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to H, the acceptance of donations.
We have two donations. One is an outdoor scoreboard at Ward Marvel High School donated by the Three Village Booster Club, which cost, by the way, a little over $15,000. And then also a check in the amount of $8,635 from the Setauket PTA to fund arts and education programs.
So moved.
Dr. Kerman, second. Mr. Kornreich, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to I, the declaration of surplus equipment. Jeff?
We have a number of items at Murphy Junior High School. I guess they're doing some spring cleaning there. A lot of audiovisual equipment and some other things that are all in unusable condition.
Okay, Mr. Kornreich, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to J, the declaration of surplus textbooks.
We have a number of textbooks from the Setauket Elementary School that are obsolete.
Okay. Mr. Kornreich, second. Mrs. Gish, discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. I'd like to combine items K through O. K through O, the claims auditor's report for November, district treasurer's report, financial report, extra classroom activities report, transfer of funds, which have been approved by the audit committee. Mr. Kornreich, second. Dr. Kirk, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Okay, let me get myself organized here. Oh, I'm telling you. Here we go. Turning to P, the approval of a side letter of agreement between the school district, the Three Village School Administrators Association, and employee named in confidential Schedule A. May I have a motion? Mr. Kornreich, second. Dr. Kerman, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to item P1, approval of appointment of interim principal for R.C. Murphy Junior High School.
So moved.
Mr. Kornreich, second. Anybody? Ms. Blavinka. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to Q1, Personnel Matters, Instructional. Mr. Kornreich, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes.
Mr. Darren? Connors, yes.
Yes.
At this point in time, this starts to become a little bit of a sad time of year for us, because this is the time that we start receiving our requests for retirement. And as such, you did vote to approve the retirement of several people this evening. Lisa Bayo, a reading teacher at Minnesaukee that started here in 1986. And I feel maybe our principals, our matriarch and patriarch of Three Village, Gail Cassiano, who has been here since 2001, and sadly, Vinny Vizzo, who has been here since 1985, and they will be sorely, sorely missed.
Thank you. May I turn to personal matters, non-instructional? May I have a motion on that, please? Ms. Kornreich, second. Ms. Regolia, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Anything on that, Garrett? Okay, good. Turning to R, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education, the Subcommittee Accommodation 504 Plan, for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Mano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to S, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting date state. May I have a motion on that? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Regolia, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to item 9, informational items of interest. Any items we'd like to raise at this point? Seeing none. Turning to our second public participation, is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, do I have a motion for adjournment? Dr. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, of course. Over here.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Soteria Everett. As a member of the community, I would like to promote some environmental sustainability in our schools. I think I've reached out to Mr. Scanlon. I expect to hear from Mr. Carlson. We've spoken to our school's PTA and found that many of our ideas were met with some enthusiasm, because it is the right time to talk about these issues, but we do need further approval from the administrative level. So I am proposing that the school board set up a sustainability and wellness task force to identify areas in our school's procurement processes and policies that could be improved. Our goal is to establish sustainability and wellness in the district that would specifically include to replace single-use plastics in the cafeteria, establish thorough recycling plans for each school building, consider school gardens and composting, and include these school-grown fruits and vegetables into the meals. There are some examples of successful implementations of these issues throughout the country and on Long Island. So I would like to consider this for the future, and I'd be happy to speak with anyone on the board about more information. Thank you.
That's a very timely request. I know at the college we just hired last year the first director of sustainability. He's doing a fantastic job in raising campus college awareness and so forth, and these issues and so forth. It's a good idea.
Excellent. I work at Stony Brook University in the nutrition division in the Stony Brook School of Medicine, and we do have a rooftop garden, and we are starting to do a lot of changes within the hospital community.
Super.
So I'd like to be able to see this at the elementary school and junior high and high school level.
Thank you so
much. In the elementary, so when I heard about the college tuition, I almost had a little panic attack.
Yeah, no. May I have anybody else? May I have a motion for adjournment? Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, good evening, everyone, and thank you all for coming.